But thank you, worship team, for your wonderful ministry to us. Hey, I came with no shortage of materials this morning. Oh, goodness. I'm going to put a few of them right here. One of them that I want to refer to, first of all, this morning, is this sweet devotional book that's called My Cup Runneth Over. It's to be used during the season of Lent, which is just around the corner. The season of Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, so we'll be using this beginning March 9th, and we would love for you to have one. It coincides, it synchronizes with the messages during the Lent season that Pastor Ryan and I will be sharing. So you'll be going right along with us in this journey, and you'll be drawing insights and helps and readings with the sermons that we will be sharing. This is available now. There is a table out in the lobby where you can pick one up. These cost the church $8. And we're asking for a $5 donation to help offset the cost if you're able to do that. You'll find in your bulletin that there is also a QR code on the back side of that that you can use to make a donation for this devotional book. I encourage you to pick one up and have it available to you when we begin our Lent journey together. The author says in his introduction here, he says, Lent is a time of reflection, repentance, and renewal. It's a time for believers to examine their lives, seek forgiveness, and renew their commitment to faith. Lent is an opportunity to pause, an invitation to listen, a request to reflect, a summons to prepare, and an appeal. So, these are available now, today, and again, I encourage you to pick one up after the service or sometime before the season of Lent begins. We're a few weeks away. In our Desert Wanderings series that we've been in, we have thus far been to Mara, where life is bitter. We've been to Shur, where sometimes in life we hit a wall. We've been to Rephidim, where our strength is zapped, and we're flat out exhausted. And we feel like we can't go any further, and it's there at Rephidim that we find that our faith journey should be accompanied by friends who hold us up, who walk with us, who pray for us, who come alongside us. Last week with Pastor Ryan and with Moses and the Israelites, we went to the mountain of God. We went to Mount Sinai. And we listened to God remind us of who's on first. The first commandment that God gave to Moses and still applies to us today was, thou shalt not have any gods before me. the Lord our creator, our sustainer, our provider, the lover of our souls, rightfully asks that he be first in our lives. So this morning, we're going to close out this desert wandering series. We're still at the mountain of God, Mount Sinai, and we're there with Moses. For us today, it's Sunday. For most of us today, it's a Sabbath day. And we're going to listen in on this FaceTime conversation, if you will, between Moses and God. It's a conversation that we were meant to hear. It's been documented for us. It's a conversation that we were meant to take and apply in our lives. It's documented for us. It's a conversation that applies to us today just as it did for Moses that day on Mount Sinai. So, let's see what God has to say to us today about Sabbath. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 20. The passage will be on screen. You'll be able to see it there. Turn to your Bibles if you have them with you today to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And as we read God's word, I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence and in honor of the Holy Scriptures today. The word of the Lord from Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The word of the Lord, you may be seated. Why do we need a Sabbath? I've got one of our ushers, one of our wonderful servants here, Damon Tucker's going to help me this morning and be a runner for me. And I want you to think about why you're tired. We need a Sabbath because we're tired. Now, health.com lists some 14 reasons why we're tired. But I want to hear from you. So Damon's going to come and he'll bring a microphone to you and he'll give you a chance to just share briefly why you're tired. This is a little congregational participation here. We'll take two or three or four of you. Tell us transparently why you're tired. Okay, here we go.
They're all wondering whether or not I'm going to go down that aisle or not.
Well, that would be natural. Yeah. Okay.
All the stress of the world and everything that's going on that keeps you in a tense, nervous situation.
Okay. I'm gonna try and repeat back what I hear you. The stress of the world and everything that's going on. Yeah. Causes a lot of anxiety, which makes us tired. Okay. Good. Thank you. Raise your hand so Damon can see you.
Overextended?
Why are you tired?
Overextended sometimes.
What was that?
Overextended.
Overextended. You got two hands and five plates, right?
Okay.
Kids.
Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, but we didn't realize how much work they were going to be. Oh, yeah. One more.
Yeah, like interrupted sleep, like Dana's dog keeps jumping on our bed at night.
The dog, it's his fault, right? Keeps waking you up. Oh, my goodness. Damon, thank you. Damon's a good runner, isn't he? Yeah. Thank you, sir. We're tired. We need a Sabbath because we're tired. For the reasons that you just gave, the kids, the dog. My brother-in-law has a dog named Molly that gets him up at 4 o'clock every morning to go outside. Me and Molly'd have a talk. Lack of sleep. Sometimes because of the things that's going on in the world, we can't sleep. We're anxious. We're tired because of no or poor or lack of exercise. We can't move or we don't feel like moving. We're tired because we're so busy we skip breakfast. We're tired because we skipped it, we go grab a donut that's loaded with sugar. That's not in and of itself a bad thing, but if we do that too much, we get tired. We're tired because we spend too much time, well, it's called screen time, whether it's on our phones or television or on the computer. We're tired. Our eyes are worn out. And the thing is, in all of this, we have some measure of control. There's not a whole lot that we can control in this world, but a lot of that we can. We get to choose. We get to make decisions about many of those things that wear us out. We need rest and relaxation, R&R. Isn't that a great picture? That's sometimes where I want to be, just right there. We all need it. And like so many other things in life, we can get easily distracted and look for it in all the wrong places. R&R can be disguised as well-intentioned, noble, and good things, Pastor Tom. Noble and good things that are well-intentioned with the right heart and the right approach. Went to my grandson's basketball tournament. 3 games in one day in the gymnasium, and I was tired after that. Good thing. Will wore me out. Yesterday I went to a whole day of training. Mental health first aid training. MHFA. How to take care of myself mentally. How to help take care of others mentally. It's a noble and good thing, but when that class was over, I was tired. I'm not used to sitting in the chair and instruction for 8 hours anymore. It was good, but it wore me out. Basketball tournaments, shoveling snow, training, balancing all those plates that you talked about. Some of them very good things, hospital visits, things we do that are good and noble, Bible studies. They're all good and noble, and when we start putting all of those things together, sometimes unintentionally we squeeze out any margin for rest and relaxation, for a Sabbath day. And in our text that we just finished reading, the fourth of the Ten Commandments that God gives his people is to rest, to take a Sabbath. And of course, they all flow out of the first one, God first. And if the Lord has told us to rest and to take a Sabbath, perhaps we should strongly consider putting that into practice. Sabbath is a term that's derived from a Hebrew word meaning to rest or to cease from work. Now, in today's culture, that day is considered to be Sunday. But for some of us, Sunday's not our day of Sabbath. Many in our culture have to work on Sabbath. They're firefighters, they're police officers, they're nurses, they're doctors, their business has to be open and they're employed there and they have to work on Sunday. So Sabbath on a Sunday might not be the case for you. It might not be the case for me. So we need to make a day in our particular schedule of life, one day, at least one day every week, where we rest or cease from work. We need to do that before the next cycle of the next week begins for us. So you work 6 days, typically five at your paying job if you're still employed, and you work one at home doing things that, they're necessary. The laundry, shoveling snow, cleaning the car, fixing this, that, and the other, going to ball games. You know, we all do those kinds of things. The seventh day, though, is to be set aside and reserved as a Sabbath to rest, to cease working. You see, Sabbath is God's idea. And if God saw fit to rest on the seventh day from all the work he'd done, and if we are, according to Genesis 1:27, made in his image, who are we to say we don't need a Sabbath? If God needed it, it must be good. And if he gives it as a gift to us, it must be good for us. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Sabbath, God rested. Sabbath is God's gift to us. God has a plan for our exhausted, worn out, tired, spiritually, physically, emotionally bodies. It's called a Sabbath day. What might, I wonder, you reflect about this question. What might a Sabbath day, a holy Sabbath day, look like for you? It could be different for us. It's not all the same. Just like our DNA is personal to us, a Sabbath day and how we rest and how we renew is maybe different for us. Here's what it looks like for Bob. Sleeping in. I can still do that. It might be, Pastor Tom, why I have trouble getting up at 6 in the morning for the men's breakfast. True transparency there. You know, John Wayne, that old cowboy, John Wayne the Duke, he'd go around and he'd kick the sleeping bags of the folks he's with and he'd say, "Come on, boys, saddle up, we're burning daylight." Well, on my Sabbath day, I burn daylight. I can still do it, and I got to tell you, I rather enjoy sleeping in. For me, it looks like quiet space. You might not think this about me. I'm an introvert. Every personality test I've ever taken, I'm an introvert. I recharge my batteries with solitude. I love people. I work outside of my personality profile as an introvert, and I do extroverted things. I love you, but can I tell you I get tired? It's who I am. So I find my quiet space. I find my solitude. No radio. No TV. No computer. No cell phone. In my quiet space. I might be there for 30 minutes, Marcy. I might be there for 2 hours. With me in my quiet space, I have my coffee and I have my Bible. I have a comfy chair. I will, in the spring and the summer and the fall, when the weather's conducive to that, I'll be outside in a chair. When it's not, during weather like this, I'll be in a comfy chair where I can see out the window. I'll have a prayer and devotion book with me that kind of helps me focus. They vary. It is something that I change up. I might have a Reflecting God, our denominational devotional book that's available for you right now out at the Welcome Center. It's a free one. And you can use this to draw a little closer to God to help you focus. Has daily devotionals and scripture readings, and they don't take much time, but they're time that's good for us. I might have my Reflecting God devotional. I might have 30 days with Wesley that I'll cycle through that has scripture and prayer and some thoughts. And it takes, I guess, all of the preparation and work out of it for me. I might spend time in 30 days with Wesley. I might have, during my different cycles of prayer and devotion, I might spend time with Oswald Chambers. I bet a lot of you've done that. My utmost for his highest. I like spending time with Oswald and John, and in my Reflecting God devotion. I sometimes have with me, it's a classic, the Common Book of Prayer. Now, sometimes I don't have any of these with me. Sometimes I just have the Psalms. Sometimes I don't take any of these with me, but I found them to be wonderful aids that help me focus, that help me draw near to God. Listen to this prayer in the old Common Book of Prayer. It's called a collect, a prayer for Saturdays. Almighty God, who after the creation of the world did rest from all your work and sanctify a day of rest for all your creatures, grant that I would put away all the earthly anxieties, that I might be prepared to serve in your sanctuary, and that my rest here upon earth would be a preparation for the eternal rest that awaits me in heaven. Beautiful. Good helps. Helps us focus. You know, they're aids for us. And like I said, sometimes I use those, and sometimes I'm just there with my Bible and my coffee. A Sabbath day for me is intended with my best of intentions to be a time of renewal. Spiritual, physical, emotional. Hear the word of the Lord from Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning at verse 26. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of this? My wife the other day ushered me outside. It was like 6 degrees. And it was like, I don't know, 8 o'clock at night, and I was already in my comfy clothes, you know. She said, honey, you got to see this. Well, out the front door we go, and we traipse out to the end of the sidewalk to see. Did you get a chance to see that big, beautiful harvest moon? It looked like it was about 8 times the size that it regularly is as it's lifting up into the eastern sky. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. When we are intentional about taking a Sabbath day and spending some quality time with the Lord, he renews our strength. God knows what it's like to be tired. He knows when we're tired. And he's gifted us with the Sabbath rest. Rest includes, as we saw in verse 10, no work. That goes against our grain in this culture, doesn't it? God doesn't frown on work. Not at all. Passage after passage encourages us to work. God, who made these hands, has put them to work. I think that's Moses' fault, because he says in the only psalm that he ever wrote, in Psalm 92, he said, "Lord, establish the work of my hands." We've been working ever since. On our Sabbath day, though, work, our paying jobs, the tedious chores, they can wait. They really can. We have to be intentional about this and resist that, because those of us who have the personality to get it done have trouble not getting it done. But a Sabbath is your day. Hear this. A Sabbath is your day to procrastinate. Let the loose ends dangle. Leave it alone for 24 hours. It'll be there when you get to it the next day. It's your day to procrastinate, especially when it comes to those chores and that work that robs you of strength and vitality and joy. And you know what those is. For some of you, we'll be doing this before long again. Mowing the yard wears you out. You despise it. You get anxious over the fact that the yard needs mowed again. And for some of you, you like getting out there and mowing it. It's time for you to have solitude and to think and to sing along with your iPod. And, you know, it's not the same for everybody. But here's a guide. If it robs you of joy, if you dread doing it, if it causes you anxiety, set it aside and procrastinate and leave it be on your Sabbath day. Another thing that I love on my Sabbath day and other days as well is I like to take naps. I saw a teenager not long ago in Walmart wearing a t-shirt that said, "Mom, I'm sorry. I didn't like taking naps when I was a kid." Teenagers like naps. It's part of their, it is part of their physiological development now. Teens like to sleep. That's why they do it so much. I like naps. I like my cat naps. Sometimes they're just 15, 20 minutes. Power naps, maybe you call them. I go for a walk, and I have absolutely no agenda in doing so. Sometimes I got agendas, but on my Sabbath day, I just go for a walk. And I look at the neighbors' homes, and I look at the squirrels, and sometimes I'm like the gorilla that my mom used to have a refrigerator magnet. Had a little girl at the church that I pastored in Warrensburg, Missouri, one of my first senior pastorates, Melissa. She used to call a refrigerator a refrigerator. My mom had this magnet on her refrigerator. A picture of a gorilla. And the caption above the gorilla's head was the gorilla thinking, "Sometimes I sit and think, and sometimes I just sit. Sometimes I just sit and there's nothing going on up here. And I find it pretty uplifting." I read something uplifting. If I'm going to watch TV, I try and find something encouraging. I was visiting with Colleen out at the Global Cafe this morning about television and how it seems like you can't find much of anything positive and encouraging on TV today. Got 500 channels and hard to find something uplifting. They're out there. I Love Lucy, still out there. Mayberry RFD, still out there. There's some things. I try and put Philippians 4:8 into practice. You know, Philippians 4:8. Wherein the Apostle Paul writes, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And he concludes that advice with the wonderful gift that God gives us when we do that. He says, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Do things that put a smile on your face. Think about things that put a smile on your face, like the little one coming down to the altar while we're singing. Take your mind to good places, happy places. You have control over your thoughts. Exercise them. Let your whole Sabbath be dedicated to the Lord. Dedicate quality time to Him. Dedicate quality time to your family. Dedicate quality time to yourself. Make choices that glorify Him and build others up. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Eugene Peterson, pastor and author of the Bible paraphrase, The Message, he writes this regarding the Sabbath. If you don't take a Sabbath, something is wrong. You're doing too much. You're being too much in charge. You've got to quit one day a week and just watch what God is doing when you're doing nothing. We have to resist the cultural influence, especially for us in America today, the cultural influence of busyness, of getting it done. We have to resist that for one day and intentionally make time for ourselves. The Sabbath is made for man. It's God's gift to us. And He expects us. It's called a commandment for a reason. He expects us to accept this gift of rest. Consider it your special day. Consider it your birthday every week. It's a gift from God, wherein you celebrate life and the life that God has given you. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, states, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort. I'm interjecting a moment. Remember I said you got to be intentional? I have to be intentional. You have to be intentional. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest. My friend Glenn, standing out in the foyer at Lawrence First Church of the Nazarene. I think I've told you about Glenn, the elder in the church, and he always had some advice for me. And he'd pull me aside, and he'd point his bony finger into my chest, and he'd say, Pastor, here's the deal. And then he'd tell me whatever's on his mind for that day. Church, here's the deal. Life is hard. And it's even harder when we're wandering in the desert, seemingly running into one obstacle after another. And the Sabbath rest just reminds us that God is still with us, that he goes before us, that he has our backs, just as he did for the Israelites wandering in the deserts then. He continues to prove to us now that he's faithful, that he loves us, that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that he knows what we're going through, and he's going through it with us. We're not alone. As we intentionally take time to draw near to him, something else amazingly happens. He pulls up a chair and sits down beside us. He draws near to us. So on our Sabbath, we can exhale. We can rest. And in doing so, we're reminded of his blessings. None of us are going hungry. None of us are without shoes. None of us are without shirts. We lack none of the basics that we need in life. I'm grateful for a roof over my head and for heat in my house. I'm grateful for a bowl of Campbell's chicken noodle soup. I'm grateful for friends. I'm grateful for family. I'm grateful for faith. I'm grateful for my church. God blesses us in so many ways. And it's good to be reminded of all that we do have because of his goodness to us. James 1:17 in the scripture reminds us that every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. These gifts come down from the Father. For our benediction this morning as we close this series and this time together, as we've wandered through the desert and run into obstacle after obstacle, and we've seen God's faithfulness. We're going to close this morning by singing together one of the first hymns that was written in the English language. It's called the Doxology. It was written in 1674 by an Anglican priest named Thomas Ken. Thomas was also a professor at Manchester College in England. And he wrote this hymn for his students. He gifted it to them to use to be reminded every morning and every night, no matter what the day held or what they'd been through. He wrote it to remind them of God's presence and God's blessings. We're only going to sing the refrain this morning. Marcy will lead us. You join in. It'll be on the screen. As we do so, in this, one of the oldest hymns of the church, we will be joining this morning with millions of churches and Christians around the world singing praises to God, from whom all blessings flow. Would you please stand as we close this morning?
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Go knowing that you're blessed. Thank you, church.